Chapter 142. And the footstep of a man. Wake up, apostrophe he said, stamping his foot impatiently upon the ground, and be something like life, man, will you? They are here. Urge those dry old bones of yours this way. Quick, man, quick. Apostrophe, Gride shambled forward, and stood, leering and bowing, close by Ralph's side, when the door opened and there entered in haste not Bray and his daughter, but Nicholas and his sister Kate. If some tremendous apparition from the world of shadows had suddenly presented itself before him, Ralph Nickleby could not have been more thunderstricken than he was by this surprise. His hands fell powerless by his side, he reeled back, and with open mouth, and a face of ashy paleness, stood gazing at them in speechless rage. His eyes so prominent, and his face so convulsed and changed by the passions which raged within him, that it would have been difficult to recognize in him the same stern, composed, hard-featured man he had been not a minute ago. The man that came to me last night, apostrophe whispered Gride, plucking at his elbow. The man that came to me last night, apostrophe, I see, apostrophe muttered Ralph, I know. I might have guessed as much before. Across my every path, at every turn, go where I will, do what I may, he comes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the absence of all color from the face, the dilated nostril, the quivering of the lips which, though set firmly against each other, would not be still, showed what emotions were struggling for the mastery with Nicholas. But he kept them down, and gently pressing Kate's arm to reassure her, stood erect and undaunted, front to front with his unworthy relative. As the brother and sister stood side by side, with a gallant bearing which became them well, a close likeness between them was apparent, which many, had they only seen them apart, might have failed to remark. The air, carriage, and very look, and expression of the brother, were all reflected in the sister, but softened and refined to the nicest limit of feminine delicacy and attraction. More striking still was some indefinable resemblance, in the face of Ralph, to both. While they had never looked more handsome, nor he more ugly, while they had never held themselves more proudly, nor he shrunk half so low, there never had been a time when this resemblance was so perceptible, or when all the worst characteristics of a face rendered coarse and harsh by evil thoughts were half so manifest as now. Away! Apostrophe, apostrophe was the first word he could utter as he literally gnashed his teeth. Away! What brings you here? Liar, scoundrel, dastard, thief! Apostrophe, apostrophe, I come here, apostrophe said Nicholas in a low deep voice, to save your victim if I can. Liar and scoundrel you are, in every action of your life. Theft is your trade, and double dastard you must be, or you were not here today. Hard words will not move me, nor would hard blows. Here I stand, and will, till I have done my errand. Apostrophe, girl. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Ralph, retire. We can use force to him, but I would not hurt you, if I could help it. Retire, you weak and silly wench, and leave this dog to be dealt with as he deserves. Apostrophe, I will not retire, apostrophe cried Kate, with flashing eyes and the red blood mantling in her cheeks. You will do him no hurt, that he will not repay. You may use force with me, I think you will, for I am a girl, and that would well become you. But if I have a girl's weakness, I have a woman's heart, and it is not you who in a cause like this can turn that from its purpose. Apostrophe, and what may your purpose be, most lofty lady? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Ralph. To offer to the unhappy subject of your treachery, at this last moment, apostrophe replied Nicholas, a refuge and a home. If the near prospect of such a husband as you have provided will not prevail upon her, I hope she may be moved by the prayers and entreaties of one of her own sex. At all events they shall be tried. I myself, avowing to her father from whom I come, and by whom I am commissioned, will render it an act of greater baseness, meanness, and cruelty in him, if he still dares to force this marriage on. Here I wait to see him and his daughter. For this I came and brought my sister even into your presence. Our purpose is not to see or speak with you, therefore to you, we stoop to say no more. Apostrophe, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Ralph. You persist in remaining here, ma'am, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, his niece's bosom heaved with the indignant excitement into which he had lashed her, but she gave him no reply. Now, Gride, see here, apostrophe, said Ralph. This fellow I grieve to say my brother's son. A reprobate and profligate, stained with every mean and selfish crime this fellow, coming here today to disturb a solemn ceremony, and knowing that the consequence of his presenting himself in another man's house at such a time, and persisting in remaining there, must be his being kicked into the streets, and dragged through them like the vagabond he is this fellow, mark you, brings with him his sister as a protection, thinking we would not expose a silly girl to the degradation and indignity which is no novelty to him. And, even after I have warned her of what must ensue, he still keeps her by him, as you see, and clings to her apron strings like a cowardly boy to his mother's. Is not this a pretty fellow, to talk as big as you have heard him now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and as I heard him last night, apostrophe, said Arthur Gride. As I heard him last night, when he sneaked into my house, and he, very soon sneaked out again, when I nearly frightened him to death. And he wanting to marry Miss Madeline too. Oh dear! Is there anything else he'd like? Anything else we can do for him, besides giving her up? Would he like his debts paid and his house furnished, and a few banknotes for shaving paper, if he shaves at all? He. Apostrophe, you will remain, girl, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Ralph, turning upon Kate again, to be hauled downstairs like a drunken drab, as I swear you shall, if you stop here? No answer. Thank your brother for what follows. Gride, call down Bray, and not his daughter. Let them keep her above. Apostrophe, if you value your head, apostrophe, said Nicholas, taking up a position before the door, and speaking in the same low voice in which he had spoken before, and with no more outward passion than he had before displayed. Stay where you are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, mind me, and not him, and call down Bray, apostrophe, said Ralph. Mind yourself rather than either of us, and stay where you are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Nicholas. Will you call down Bray? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Ralph. Remember that you come near me at your peril, apostrophe, said Nicholas. Gride hesitated. Ralph being, by this time, as furious as a baffled tiger, made for the door, and, attempting to pass Kate, clasped her arm roughly with his hand. Nicholas, with his eyes darting fire, seized him by the collar. At that moment, a heavy body fell with great violence on the floor above, and, in an instant afterwards, was heard a most appalling and terrific scream. They all stood still, and gazed upon each other. Scream succeeded scream, a heavy pattering of feet succeeded, and many shrill voices clamoring together were heard to cry, "He is dead!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, stand off! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas, letting loose all the passion he had restrained till now. If this is what I scarcely dare to hope it is, you are caught, villains, in your own toils. Apostrophe, he burst from the room, and, darting upstairs to the quarter from whence the noise proceeded, forced his way through a crowd of persons who quite filled a small bedchamber, and found Bray lying on the floor quite dead, his daughter clinging to the body. How did this happen? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he cried, looking wildly about him. Several voices answered together that he had been observed, through the half-open door, reclining in a strange and uneasy position upon a chair, that he had been spoken to several times, and not answering, was supposed to be asleep, until some person going in and shaking him by the arm, he fell heavily to the ground, and was discovered to be dead. Who is the owner of this house? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Nicholas, hastily. An elderly woman was pointed out to him, And to her he said, as he knelt down and gently unwound Madeline's arms from the lifeless mass round which they were entwined, I represent this lady's nearest friends, as her servant here knows, and must remove her from this dreadful scene. This is my sister to whose charge you confide her. My name and address are upon that card, and you shall receive from me all necessary directions for the arrangements that must be made. Stand aside, every one of you, and give me room and air for God's sake. The people fell back, scarce wondering more at what had just occurred than at the excitement and impetuosity of him who spoke. Nicholas, taking the insensible girl in his arms, bore her from the chamber and downstairs into the room he had just quitted, followed by his sister and the faithful servant, whom he charged to procure a coach directly, while he and Kate bent over their beautiful charge and endeavored, but in vain, to restore her to animation. The girl performed her office with such expedition that in a very few minutes the coach was ready. Ralph Nickleby and Gride, stunned and paralyzed by the awful event which had so suddenly overthrown their schemes, it would not otherwise, perhaps, have made much impression on them, and carried away by the extraordinary energy and precipitation of Nicholas, which bore down all before him, looked on at these proceedings like men in a dream or trance. It was not until every preparation was made for Madeline's immediate removal that Ralph broke silence by declaring she should not be taken away. Who says so? Cried Nicholas, rising from his knee and confronting them, but still retaining Madeline's lifeless hand in his. I. Answered Ralph, hoarsely. Hush, hush. Cried the terrified Gride, catching him by the arm again. Hear what he says. Said Nicholas, extending his disengaged hand in the air. Hear what he says. That both your debts are paid in the one great debt of nature. That the bond, due today at 12, is now waste paper. That your contemplated fraud shall be discovered yet. That your schemes are known to man, and overthrown by heaven. Wretches, that he defies you both to do your worst. Said Ralph, in a voice scarcely intelligible, this man claims his wife, and he shall have her. That man claims what is not his, and he should not have her, if he were 50 men, with 50 more to back him, said Nicholas. Who shall prevent him? I will. By what right I should like to know, said Ralph. By what right I ask? By this right. That, knowing what I do, you dare not tempt me further, said Nicholas, and by this better right, that those I serve, and with whom you would have done me base wrong and injury, are her nearest and her dearest friends. In their name I bear her hence. Give way. One word. Cried Ralph, foaming at the mouth. Not one, replied Nicholas, I will not hear of one save this. Look to yourself, and heed this warning that I give you. Your day is past, and night is coming on. My curse, my bitter deadly curse, upon you, boy. Whence will curses come at your command? Or what avails a curse or blessing from a man like you? I tell you, that misfortune and discovery are thickening about your head, that the structures you have raised, through all your ill-spent life, are crumbling into dust, that your path is beset with spies, that this very day, £10,000 of your hoarded wealth, have gone in one great crash. Tis false. Cried Ralph, shrinking back. 'Tis true, and you shall find it so. I have no more words to waste. Stand from the door. Kate, do you go first. Lay not a hand on her, or on that woman, or on me, or so much as brush their garments as they pass you by. You let them pass, and he blocks the door again. apostrophe apostrophe Arthur Gride happened to be in the doorway, but whether intentionally or from confusion was not quite apparent. Nicholas swung him away with such violence as to cause him to spin round the room until he was caught by a sharp angle of the wall and there knocked down, and then taking his beautiful burden in his arms rushed out. No one cared to stop him, if any were so disposed. Making his way through a mob of people, whom a report of the circumstances had attracted round the house, and carrying Madeline, in his excitement, as easily as if she were an infant, he reached the coach in which Kate and the girl were already waiting, and, confiding his charge to them, jumped up beside the coachman and bade him drive away. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.